So our topic has been for the last 2 weeks. This is week number two, our Bibles. And so this morning, as we kind of jump in and start in on this, I need to talk about a journey about searching for truth. If you've ever been on one of those journeys where you're trying to figure out, how do I help somebody? How do I figure out what's going on and what's taking place? If you've ever been on one of those journeys, then you're going to understand what I'm talking about. So I think it's about 15 years ago that somebody handed me a book and said, I need your help. I'm in a book club and we're reading this book and it's really interesting and it's got lots of things in it and, you know, help me read it. Now, the first thing that they told me about it was about the Holy Grail. You know what I'm thinking? Indiana Jones, I'm all up for that, okay? Sign me up. Then I got the book. Then I'm reading the book. And I'm going, oh my goodness, this has nothing to do with Indiana Jones or anything like that, okay? This is very, very different. And I don't think I helped this person out very much as they went back to their book group. But it has really led me to know more about the topic of Scripture. And do we have in our hands what was written? Do we really have in our hands what was written? Or has it been copied so many times? Is there so many question marks? We really don't know. The book that was handed to me 15 years ago was The Da Vinci Code. And many of you maybe have not read the book, but perhaps you watch Tom Hanks because, after all, don't we watch every movie that Tom Hanks is in? Okay? He's just one of those guys. We always watch his stuff. So if you maybe have seen the movie and maybe like, oh, well, that's interesting. Okay? If you had the book, you would have read this quote from the author Dan Brown about the Bible. The Bible has evolved through countless translations, additions, and revisions. Then he makes this statement. History has never had a definitive version of this book. So according to Dan Brown, no, what's in your hand? Maybe 50%, 25%, I don't know. He's guessing, but he's saying history never had. Nobody's ever had a definitive version of this book. Now, he goes on and he adds books into this thing and lots of different things. But that's a big question. Do we have a definitive version of this book? And I'm hoping by the end of today that if you've never thought about this, perhaps you have for the first time, or if you've been in one of those places where somebody has told you this, hey, there's never been a definitive version of this book, you've actually said, oh, no, wait a minute, is that really true? And maybe it's caused you to stumble, maybe it's caused you to have doubts unnecessarily. And so today we just want to kind of dive into this, and I just want to help you in a little bit of way, and then I'll tell you why at the end, why does this really matter, okay? Why does this really matter, okay? So, can we be certain what we have now is what was written then? Can we actually have some sort of certainty that what you hold in your hands, what is on your smartphone, that hopefully you're doing a Bible reading plan with us, and you've been reading it, is that really what was written then? So, let me just kind of hit a few things, okay? And I don't want you to kind of just go to sleep on me. I know it's going to be some heavy stuff at times, but you're going to understand at the end why this is so important. So, what about all the copying, right? Because John wrote, and then that was taken and was copied, and it was copied, and it was copied, and copied, and copying took place for literally hundreds of years, okay? Hand copying took place for nearly 1,400 years. From the time some scripture was written until the time we get the printing press, and Johann Gutenberg takes the Bible and he actually puts it in this printing press and can mass produce it. Otherwise, before then, it is all done by hand copying. People take it and they copy it, okay? The majority, and this is really important, of New Testament manuscripts were copied by professionally trained scribes, okay? Not Joe Blow in the church who they handed it to and say, hey, can you make us a copy? I don't know this word, and I don't know this word, so he just made stuff up along the way. There's way too many people think that people who weren't trained, who didn't follow rules, copied the Bible, and that's just not true. Most of it, the majority of it, was done by professionally trained scribes. So what does that mean? They followed 4,000 rules to make sure of its reliability. Okay, they make a mistake. Okay, that's gone. Okay, they were very particular. And those rules, by the way, go far back before the New Testament. Go to actually the library in Alexandria, Egypt, where they came up with all these rules. To make sure, if we're going to have a copy of something, that copy is the same as the original. Okay, so not everybody just took it and here's a page, go copy it for me. And I hope that's right. And we just stick it in. These are actually individuals who are following rules in order to see this thing happen. And what was there is what was copied. How many manuscripts? How many manuscripts of the New Testament exist that are out there? Okay, do you realize that there are 20,000 copies of the New Testament before the printing press? Now that's a huge number. That's a huge number, and I hope I'm able to help you understand it a little bit today. This idea of how many copies we have and how many manuscripts we have of the New Testament. So if you take the average Greek literature, like I'm sure you read this week, okay? But if you would take Plato's Republic, okay, which is a classical piece, lots of people have written it. If you were to take all the manuscripts in the world that somebody has of Plato's Republic and you would pile it up and go 4 feet high, that's about as many as we have of the typical, you know, first century document. That's about how much we have. Then you take the New Testament, 6,600 feet. Is that more? That's a lot more, okay? That's like 4.5 Empire State Buildings, okay? That's just massive. This massive pile we have of manuscripts, okay? And the last time I saw it, nobody wrote a book and said, you know, Plato's Republic, it's terrible, it's awful. We don't have a definitive copy, okay? We don't have a copy until almost 1,000 years after it was written. And then we only have this small pile. And we have this massive pile of the New Testament manuscripts that we have found and that are out there and that are available to us. One more thing with this. So if you want to know about translations when it comes to this. So the King James Version, okay, which is, if you grew up in church, you probably grew up with the King James at some point, because that's what we had. The King James was based on 8 manuscripts, okay? They had 8 manuscripts at that time that they used to help translate the King James and give us an English version for everybody, okay? That took place in 1611. In 2020, and in years before that, there have been groups that have worked on translating the Bible. One that I use, and we use in church, if you've never caught it, and went, what translation is Ed using? It's called the New English Translation. It was done by individuals out of Dallas Theological Seminary. I absolutely love it. It's amazing. They have so many more manuscripts they're using. So remember King James? 8. When they did the Net Bible, they use 5,500 manuscripts. That's a lot more. That was a lot more. And they were able to discover things and able to look at things and able to uncover things that are important for us and that we can embrace. So we have it incredibly well in 2021, understanding the Bible, and what we have is what was written. So are there variants? Come on, they didn't get everything right, did they? They couldn't get everything right. There has to be some variations. Yes. Okay? Yes. This is where we need to be honest about what we have. Okay? We're going to be very honest about what we have. We are not going to make it something it isn't, but we're going to be incredibly honest about it as well. Okay? There are variants. There are variants, okay? There's approximately 138,000 words in the Greek New Testament. There are probably 200,000 to 500,000 variants. Now, you're like, whoa, right? If you would just have that number, you would think, I don't know if I have the right thing, okay? Did I get the right version? Did I get the one with the 500,000 variants or the 200,000 variants, right? Which one is it? This is what you need to know. That 99.9% of them make no difference. Many are spelling. I'm just glad people have spelling problems, okay, like I do, okay? And if it wasn't for spell check, anybody else thank God for spell check, okay? people wouldn't know the emails I would send out. I'm telling you, okay? I'm thankful for it, okay? I used to, before Outlook actually gave me a version of different things, I'd actually just take it, post it in a Word document, and spell check it there, okay? Because if you've ever had issues, okay, most of these are spelling. They spelled things wrong, okay? When they were translating, they spelled things. 99.9% of that 200 to 500,000 make no difference at all. So, what about this 0.1%? Because we're going to be honest. There's a 0.1%, and there are some differences. And what I want to do is I want to show you two of these that are differences, okay? And all depending on the translation you use, you have this verse one way or the other, at least the first one. The second one is more of a newer one that's been discovered, okay? So here it is. Mark chapter 9, verse 29, I give it to you in the New King James, okay? This kind, so Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples. A demon was supposed to be cast out, and his disciples couldn't do it, okay? So along comes Jesus to save the day, right? And the demon is cast out. Mark writes this, this kind of demon can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, okay? Simple verse, right? However, when they were uncovering more manuscripts, because remember, what was the King James? The New King James is based mostly on it. We have eight. We have more now, okay? So here's what we discovered. The early manuscripts don't have "and fasting." Somewhere along the line, they believe somewhere between 300 and 400, okay, when there was a big push of fasting, the people, whoever copied, okay, whoever was the scribe at that point went, Jesus obviously meant fasting, right? Jesus obviously meant fasting. He had to have meant fasting. Why is that in there? Somebody forgot that word, okay? And so I'm not kidding you. And fasting does not appear in any of the manuscripts we have before about 300 AD. Somewhere on the line, somebody wrote it in. Now, does that change anything about our faith? No. We can have a discussion on whether you should fast or not, okay? We can have that discussion, but does it change any tenets of our faith? No. Now, let me give you another one, which is kind of newer, and it's kind of funner. I think it's a fun one, okay? In Revelation, it tells us that let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, the number that everybody knows. If you don't know any number that's ever in the Bible, you all know this number, okay? 666. And we have been trying to figure out 666 forever, okay? Forever. I wonder if John would go, man, I shouldn't have written that down, okay? Because everybody's trying to figure out who's that. Who's that? And let me tell you, in my lifetime, it has been every single president. It's been most politicians. It's been Barney the Purple Dinosaur. I have no idea why. No idea why. Somebody explain that to me, okay? But everybody's the Antichrist, and everybody, we figure out the number is 666. However, you need to know this. There were two manuscripts discovered, okay? One that is the earliest we have of the book of Revelation. The earliest we have, probably from somewhere within 50 years of when John wrote it. We actually have a piece of that manuscript that was copied about 50 years after John wrote Revelation, okay? And we have another one about 100 years after that. And do you know what's there? 616. Wow. Like, this could be anybody now, right? Everybody's going to take this and go figure it out, right? Now, let's just be honest. Does that change anything about our faith? Our doctrinal statement for our church does not say, right? We believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, that Jesus is the only way for salvation, and the number of the beast is 666. It's not in there. It's not in anybody's doctrinal statement. What does it change about our faith? Nothing. 616, probably the neighbor of the 666 guy, right? I don't know, just down the street. What is it? What is it that takes us from that point of seeing that variant? Oh, I don't know if I can trust it. I don't know if I can trust Scripture. That's what I want you to know the 1% is. Now, some of them are a little bigger, and we're not going to get into more of them today. I want to give you two examples of that 0.1% that is different, okay? And here's what I want you to know. I want you to see this. Dr. Bart Ehrman, you can get his book. It's called Misquoting Jesus. that after getting his doctorate became an agnostic and an atheist. But in his book, Misquoting Jesus, he was asked questions and they made a paperback edition and they stuck this in the ends. And here's what he tells us. The guy who says you cannot trust that what's in your hand is actually scripture. Here's what he tells us. Essential beliefs are not affected by textual variants in the manuscript tradition of the New Testament. They're not affected. This is the guy who's now an atheist because for some reason he doesn't think he can trust this book. But when he's honest, he says, yeah, you know, nothing essential was changed by any of these variants. Nothing essential was changed by any of these variants. That's really, really important that you and I know that. That of all the differences and all the changes and the things that we can see, essential beliefs are not affected at all. And that's by someone who's a total skeptic, who's on the other side, and who isn't sure at all about the integrity of the Bible. Now, if you tuned out because I don't know what he was talking about, he's kind of over my, right? Tune back in. This is what's really important this morning, okay? Why does this matter? So why does this matter? Why is that taking a Sunday and talking about this? I don't know. Why does this matter at all? And this is what's really important. This is where I need you to lean in. That this is important that we know this. Why? Because do you know the first lie? Or the first words out of Satan to provoke Eve into questioning God's goodness is it really true that God said? Do you understand? That's how he started the conversation with Eve. Is it really true that God said? Did God really say? And it was all about the what? The one thing they weren't supposed to do in the entire garden. And he starts a conversation by getting her to question, is that really true? See, all the people, the Dan Browns, who tell us, I don't know, there's no definitive version of this book in history. He is simply playing into that first statement. Did God really say? And let me tell you, this is an important question to answer. Because if you question that, then you're going to open this and you're going to read things and you go, yeah, but did God really say that? I don't know. Your obedience and your ability to follow Jesus is going to matter whether you can trust this word and follow what he says. So guess where it's going to start? Did God really say? That's where it's going to start with you. That's where Satan always is going to start with us. You can do your Bible reading. You're going to open up and you're going to start reading. And then you're going to hit a point where I'm feeling convicted. This is really talking to me about what's going on currently. And then there's the enemy who tells us what? Yeah, but did God really say that? Can you really trust that God really said that? And that has caused so many people to be on shaky ground with this word that's supposed to give us direction. That's the main way, as I told you before, that God is going to speak into our lives. And we're going to question lots of stuff if we don't understand and if we just let that first statement shake us. Did God really say? Is it really true that God said that? And what am I supposed to do with it? That's what I want you to discover from all this. I want you to understand that you can rely upon this. Many have left the faith unnecessarily due to doubts that they didn't know how to deal with. Did you realize some people opened the Da Vinci Code, they got to that quote and went, oh. They went later, maybe in the book, where he starts quoting from books that aren't in this one, okay? And you're like, oh. And people have read those, and it's caused them to have doubts, and they didn't know how to deal with them. And because they didn't know how to deal with them, they may have unnecessarily walked away. They may have unnecessarily not trusted this when they read it. And God was asking him to do something, they may have walked away and not known what to do with it. Many of us are in that place. There You have to figure out what you're going to do with your doubts. Having doubts is not bad. It is not sinful. It is wrong. But you have to deal with them. Can I tell you, never be afraid of the truth? Never be afraid of the truth. Too many people go, oh, I don't want to look in that, okay? I don't want to look at that, right? Oh, no. Bible's fine. And what did we do? We honestly looked at it this morning. Said, hey, there's variations. There's differences. There's lots of copying. Lots of those variants mean nothing. Don't be afraid of the truth, which means don't be afraid of asking questions. Don't be afraid of searching things out. And be very careful where you go for sources. Because I'm telling you, Eastern Christmas, the History Channel, and all sorts of other places, boy, they have lots of specials. Okay? And all those specials are just, you know, trying to create doubts and questions. And if you're not careful, you might walk away unnecessarily believing something they have said. Never be afraid of the truth, but never stop until you have it. Never stop until you have it. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep looking. Keep searching. Where's the next place? Where do I need to go? And I'm telling you, Google is not always your friend. It is not always your friend. You may not want to go there all the time. You may want to try to find sources that are going to help you understand the questions that you have. Never be afraid of the truth and never stop until you have it. So, here's how I'm going to sum it up this morning. Nearly 2,000 years later, we can know the scriptures are authentic. And with great integrity that we have the Word of God. Okay? I'm going to say that again. Because this is really, really important. Okay? 2,000 years later, nearly that, we can know that the scriptures are authentic. That what was written is what we have now. Okay? That there is authenticity to this. Okay? That this wasn't written a couple hundred years after that, and you really don't know. Okay? Books were left out of this. You can know that the scriptures are authentic and with great integrity that we have because of the incredible work of individuals and people that we have, you have in your hands, the Word of God. And you can trust this. You can trust this. You can trust that what it says is true. You can trust when it says to stay away from certain things. God's asking you doing that for your own good. Because of where it will lead you, because where it will take you in your life. But I can't make you believe this. I can't force you to read it. I can't force you to take this as truth. That's your decision. And that's where it comes to, where are you honest this morning about where you are with this book? Is it for you the Word of God? Have you actually made it that? Or have you just allowed all the doubts to come in so you sweep it aside and it actually gives you an excuse to not do what it tells you to do? That's all I want you to think about this morning. Because I believe with great integrity we have the Word of God. Based on everything I've seen and I've researched and I've heard and I've watched individuals go through, even the skeptic who said what? Essential beliefs are not changed by any of these variations. Then why did he walk away? Because so often people walk away not because they ran into something that caused them to do that, but a series of things that caused them to do that. Sometimes it's pain, sometimes it's hurt, sometimes it's dealing with people who say they're Christian and then they do unthinkable things and you don't know how to deal with that other than, okay, I'm done with all Christians, okay? Yes, they do. Yes. They're called humans. We all make mistakes. I realize there's been more of our fair share later, okay? Because some of you have sent me messages. Did you see what so-and-so said? And I'm going, oh, no. Oh, no. They didn't. Please tell me they didn't. Right? Please tell me it's a fake story on the Babylon Bee. Please tell me it's not true. And it causes people to unnecessarily walk away. I don't want you to do that this morning because of Scripture. I want you to know that what you have in your hand and what you're reading is the actual Word of God. that we can know with great integrity. So I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for us if we have doubts, we will be honest about those, that we will search out the truth, and that we will let God speak and work in a powerful way in our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I know I covered a lot and probably just blasted a bunch of information. I pray that would be cut through to the heart of this issue, which is, can I trust what I hold in my hands? Can I trust it? Can I trust that when I read it, it is pointing me in the right direction? Can I trust, Father, that this is really you speaking through this book into my life? And this morning, Father, I want everybody watching, everybody in the room, to be honest about their doubts. It is okay to have doubts. It's just not okay to lie about them. Pretend they're not real, and then we don't search out and find out the truth. I know we wish it was easier. We wish we could trust everything. We wish we could trust the documentaries that are done. But Father, so often we can't, because they're from individuals who have an agenda. And that agenda isn't just to reveal what we truly know. That we have a wealth of riches, that because of faithful individuals copying for 1,000 years, we have this incredible book in our hand. Because of people who were faithful and did the hard things, we have what we have, and we can trust it. And Father, that's my biggest prayer this morning, that we would trust that this is you speaking into our lives when we open it up and let it speak and let you speak through it into our lives. Work in a powerful way, Father. Help us to be honest about our doubts and help us to pursue the truth always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.